you, entreat you, go to war on your knees. You know, the devil would love to have our church, love to have all our young people. The devil's fighting, and it's amazing how relentless the enemy is in his fight and pursue against the saints of God. I mean, he doesn't sleep, friends. Don't think the devil gets tired and has to take a nap. No, he's like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he's looking, trying to find a way into the hearts of humanity and destroy the church. Amen. If you would go in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, if you would, chapter 16, and trusting God to help us. At the end of this service, we are going to have a membership service. Sister Kayla Ritchie will be joining the church this evening. And let's be praying about that. But then we're going to preach first this evening and ask God to help us. And looking forward to what God has in store this evening for this service. And God has great things in store for us. Amen. I want you to turn once again to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to just trust God to help us. Amen. Matthew 16. And when you get there, give me a good amen. Also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. This evening, with the Lord's help, I want to preach to you on questions, opinions, and revelation. Questions, opinions, and revelation. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we're coming into your word again, and we need your help this Sunday evening. We do appreciate your presence during the worship. As we sang about amazing grace, we sang about being in heaven and how it all will end on that side of eternity. We sang about going to war on our knees, God. But right now, God, I need your anointing to preach. As we face some things that we face on this side of eternity, God, the questions that you ask the disciples, there's the opinions of man, but oh, there's the revelation of God. Now, would this evening that you'd anoint, you would touch, and you would help us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' holy and divine name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Questions, opinions, and revelation. Amen. We look at this evening, and no doubt in Matthew 16, that basically that chapter, many of you know what this is. But we realize here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14 that Jesus asked two questions. Number one, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Then he said also that great personal question, but whom say ye that I am? We see two questions there. Interesting also when you're studying this is where Jesus made or stated these two questions at. It tells us there in verse 13 that they were in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now this was a predominantly, when you study this, and I'm going to read to you a little bit about some history here. When you study this, this was predominantly a Gentile area located some 25 miles north of Bethesda, where Jesus had just healed a blind man. You would find that in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. It is here that a spring issues forth from Mount Hermon. I was reading about this and it was interesting. A spring issues forth from Mount Hermon that forms one of the tributaries and becomes the Jordan River. This was a beautiful area. As a matter of fact, one writer, and many talks about this area, how it was steeped in pagan religion. In ancient time, the city had been called, before it was Caesarea Philippi, the city had been called Belenus, after the name of Baal worship. Baal, of course, was that god of the Old Testament that we frequently Sea with the Philistines. It was for a fertility god of nature. You would study that in the Old Testament. Later, the name of the city changed to be Panias because the Greeks believed that their god Pan was born in a cave in the hills of that city. What a greater place, a place that had been known and steeped with pagan religion for all those years. What greater place for the real Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to ask this question? A place that had been tied to all them other pagan gods. And here Jesus makes this comment and says, "Who does men say that I am?" You go on to read about Caesarea Philippi and what that means. It contained a gleaming marble temple there. It was built by Herod and Herod Philip to honor Caesar, the Roman emperor. The citizens of the city were required to enter this temple at least once a year, place a pinch of incense on a burning altar, and proclaim when they did this, "Caesar is Lord." It was a place in which they called and proclaimed the lordship of Caesar. But oh, how Caesarea Philippi would be different in the minds of Christians, because this is the place that Peter proclaimed not Caesar as Lord, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And the amazing thing is this, he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but who revealed this to you was my Father which is in heaven." So today what I want to do, I want to take a close look at our Savior's question in verse 15. And other preachers and writers and commentators have done something similar to this before. I just want to kind of go down my own row here and talk about this. But in verse 15, he asked this question, who does men say that I am? So we're going to look at this question today and figure out who people thought that he was in the day in which he lived. What have men said I was? Said that I am. So the first ones that we're going to ask today, we're going to ask who humanity says he is in that time and day. We noticed during the life of Christ, men had a lot to say about Jesus, who they thought he was. Number one, they said, this is what the disciples said, "Some think that you are John the Baptist." Now look, I would say to you today that if somebody called me John the Baptist, I would not feel worthy. We understand John the Baptist, there was no other prophet like John the Baptist. Jesus placed him on a very high pedestal. But I would tell you this today, that wild man out there on that countryside who was obeying God, who ate locusts and wild honey, and we know the story, wore camel hair, and there preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," who gave his life as a martyr for the cause of Christ. He decreased so the Lord could increase. We notice here that Jesus was greater than John the Baptist. They even said, "Look, some think that you are Elijah." And we could gather here how maybe they would think that. We look in the Old Testament there in the book of Malachi 4 and 5, and they said that one would come in the spirit of Elias. But oh, they did miss it, didn't they? Because John the Baptist, the one they thought Jesus was, John the Baptist is the one that came in the spirit of Elias. But then some thought that he was Jeremiah. Now that is a little more unique, and you would have to do a little more study into tradition and secular history maybe to gather why they might have thought he was Jeremiah. Listen to one writer, he said this, "A holy prophet, Jeremiah was a holy prophet who was expected to return to earth just before the Messiah came. He was supposed to bring with him a tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and the altar of incense which was hidden in Mount Nebo before he died." You would find that in 2 Maccabees and the Apocrypha and another book in the Apocrypha as well. The Jews actually thought that Jeremiah was going to be one of the forerunners of Christ. So they thought right here, humanity thought Jesus was either John the Baptist, was Elijah, or maybe even Jeremiah. But then he goes on to say, or one of the prophets. Once again, what they're doing here, that yes, they have elevated Jesus above the average person, but they did not recognize him as the Christ. He was greater than John the Baptist. He was greater than Elijah. He was greater than Jeremiah. He was greater than the other prophets. He was greater than Adam. He was greater than Abraham. He was greater than Obadiah or Isaiah or any of the other prophets or minor prophets or major prophets that we can mention. He was greater than Solomon. He was greater than the temple. He was everything else. He was greater than everything else they could even mention here. So notice this, that's who some thought that he was. Now they're pretty credible things. Once again, if you call me John the Baptist, I'll say, well, Not quite, but you know, that's a nice gesture. Some would say, Brother Derek, you're like Elijah. And I would say, you know, nowhere like it. But you know, it might make me feel a little good about myself. You called me Elijah or Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the faithful prophet that just kept on preaching that even when the Babylonians came there, Nebuchadnezzar knew who he was when Zedekiah wouldn't even recognize him. Wouldn't that be a commending thing for somebody to call you one of that or say, Brother Derek or whoever, look, you're like one of the prophets. That would be very nicer than to say such a thing, but I would never feel worthy. But that answer was not suffice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was the nice things that people said about him that liked him. But everybody wasn't saying he was John the Baptist. Elias, Jeremiah, or the prophets. A lot of people in Mark 6 and 3, they said, oh, he's just a carpenter. Some of them said, oh, he's the son of Joseph. John 9 and 24, he's a sinner. John 8 and 41, an illegitimate child. Matthew 12 and 24, Jesus is a devil. John 10 and 20, he's a madman. And Matthew 27, 38 through 43, a fool and the object of contempt and scorn. Even his half-brothers and his siblings even had harsh things to say about him. That's what humanity thought that he was. What a variety of answers. But do you realize the day in which we live, we still have a variety of answers of who Jesus is? How many knows that? Man, you go down the road, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? It depends on who you're talking to. It's amazing right now. If you were to go down to the local Kingdom Hall, it wasn't far from here. I've never seen the inside. I wish they had windows. I'm always curious. What do they do in them places? Anybody ever thought that? Thought about going undercover one of these days. I'm just joking. I'll let one of you do that. Might see something to scare you. Who does the Jehovah's Witness think Jesus is? You ready for this? And I know some of you know this already. Listen to what they say in the New Heavens and New Earth pamphlet. Michael, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. He is no other than the only begotten Son of God, now Jesus Christ. They said Jesus is Michael the Archangel. That's who men said that he is. What about the Mormons and all their nice facilities? And I just recently had two Mormons come to the house, and we had a very awkward moment there on the side porch. You know, they knocked on the door, and I went out. There was two Mormons. They were very tall gentlemen. Matter of fact, I wasn't expecting them. I didn't have my hair combed over nice like this, as you see. Amen. Some of you are saying, yeah, right. I stepped on that porch and said, howdy. Hey. And they said, hey, how are you? They said, have you always lived here? I said, about a year and a half. And I said, why are you asking? And they said, well, there's somebody here before that we've talked to. And I said, really? I said, well, are you Mormons? And they said, yes, we are. I said, where are you from? They said, Utah. I said, you're from the Mormon capital of the world. I said, how long you been at it? About a year. I said, so you come all the way here? I said, okay. I said, aren't we supposed to talk about something? They said, oh, no, we're not supposed to talk about nothing. I said, to be sure, you're supposed to talk to me about something. I said, I'm a pastor of a church. And they said, no, we're looking for somebody else. It was kind of an awkward moment. They didn't stay very long. Matter of fact, when they left, I said, they were supposed to at least ask me. I didn't have a chance to get asked a question. It threw me off. You know, if I'd known that, I'd have had my Mormon gun loaded and, you know, scriptures and at least, you know, maybe engaged them a little bit. It threw me off because I looked at them. It was just an awkward moment of silence. I said, aren't you supposed to ask me something? They said, oh, no, we're looking for somebody else. So, Mr. Mormons, who do you say Jesus is? They said, Jesus is our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, who was the father of heaven. And Lucifer is the son of morning. He is Lucifer's elder brother. And Lucifer is his brother. Jesus is the elder brother. Jesus was married at Cana of Galilee and had many wives, including Mary and Martha. He also had many children. That's who they say he is. Are they right? I hope not. Because it's the one we worship and serve. Now, what about this? What if you bump into a Muslim? You know, there's some of those around here. I'll tell you what throws you off. In Tanzania, Africa, that's all there is. I mean, when you're walking in the marketplace, you realize, you know, like, look, I'm the odd man out over here. And I hope, you know, all the radical Islam things that you hear, you're just hoping, you know, that the people there are not going to attack you and kill you. And, you know, it kind of makes you nervous. You're walking in the marketplace and you're just waiting any moment. I said, man, I hope these folks are nice. And because you're there preaching the gospel and they're there not preaching the gospel. They got their own. You ever heard them fellas pray? I mean, it's a miserable sounding mess. I'll be honest with you. Every morning there, I mean, it rings across. I mean, it almost shakes the ground there in Tanzania. I mean, they get out there and moan and groan. I was like, what are they saying? It'll drive you crazy again at 12 o'clock. And then they do it again that afternoon. I mean, man, it's drive you crazy. I mean, they're praying everywhere. Recently, I went to that little Bible school thing, and I pulled up to a rest area. And I was so tired. It was about 6 o'clock that afternoon, and I said, "Man, I've got to close my eyes about 15 minutes." I was trying to get there, and been in traffic, and anybody hit any traffic around here before? You know what I'm talking about. And I get to that rest area, and there I pulled way the furthest parking spot away. I said, "Man, I'm gonna kick this chair back, and I'm just gonna close my eyes for 10 minutes." And I look over there, and there's one other truck out there. I didn't see anybody in there, and I pulled up there, and I said, "All right, you know, it's hard for me to kind of calm down. I don't trust the rest areas really that much." Yeah, I kicked my seat back, and I lay just like this, and I look over, and I see a Islamic man praying right in front of my vehicle. Needless to say, I didn't take a 15-minute nap. And I looked over there, and about a few minutes later, he gets up, gets in his truck, and takes off. But if I was to ask that man, "Hey, sir, who do you say that Jesus is?" And this is what the Islam would say, what Islam says: Jesus was no more than a mortal whom Allah favored and made an example to the Israelites. There are unbelievers who say that Jesus Christ is God, the Messiah, Mary's son is God, is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus was a prophet, but he was not crucified on the cross. Judas took his place. He will return, but he is not God. That's who they say Jesus is. Now, another interesting thing is this. If you ask somebody that isn't Hindu or a Hindu, sir, you know, in that religion, they would say that Jesus is just another God like millions of other gods. But let me ask you this question. If you went to an Orthodox Jew and asked them who Jesus is, that's where you would get your most violent, blasphemous answer than you've ever heard before. Let me read to you from some of the Jewish literature about who they... I'm going to say this right here. Okay, I do believe in supporting Israel. I do believe that Israel is God's people. But I'll tell you this, Israel is a wicked nation. Do you realize that Tel Aviv is the homosexual capital of the world? What I mean by that, there's more homosexuality in Tel Aviv than there is anywhere else in the world. They have their homosexual nightclubs. They have abortions. All those evil things. So yes, we do understand that Israel is God's people, but God's got to chasten that nation. You know, somebody told me that one time, and I've always been raised in Pentecost where you don't talk about Israel. Leave her alone now. God's going to strike you dead. Israel needs to repent. Israel needs to repent. Matter of fact, read. Go study about Tel Aviv. I dare you. And figure, and matter of fact, don't study too much. You might be disgusted. Wickedness all around them. So listen, I know Brother Joey Yates. You remember Brother Joey Yates from Brother Chambers Church? Great preacher. Brother Joey Yates actually, and I think David, you know him as well. I heard Brother Joey Yates one time preaching, and he talked about where him and another minister actually visited a synagogue or a place where there was a bunch of Jewish people. And there was a rabbi there. I think this was in Israel, actually. And there was a rabbi in there. And Brother Yates and one of the other ministers yelled and said, "Mr. Rabbi, what think ye of Christ?" The rabbi said, "Oh, Christ, he was an unfortunate Jew that got himself killed." Isn't that wicked? So we look at this. Listen to what they say about our Messiah. In Jewish writings, the detail, how Jesus in their lives. Listen, this is what it says, how the following things say about Jesus. "She who was the descendant of princes," this is talking about Mary, "who was the descendant of princes and governors, played the harlot with a carpenter." It's what they say. And listen, it goes on to say, Miriam played the harlot with carpenters. And it said, Mary, the hairdresser, had sexual relations with many men. Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. Jesus is in hell and being boiled in hot water, blind in one eye and lame in one foot. That was written by rabbis. Did that kind of throw you off a little bit? That's what they believe. Do you know Israel rejected Christ? Do you know Israel crucified Christ? The Jews? Now we believe in the Messianic Jews and those that get born again. Wonderful and great. Yes, we should support them. But I'll tell you what Israel needs. Israel needs Pentecost. Israel needs a revival. And there during the tribulation, God is going to turn his attention there once again. He is going to get the remnant's attention. God is going to deal with his children there in Israel. So we see this, that's who they think he is. So people living all around us have an opinion concerning Jesus Christ. Some thinks he's just a good man. Other thinks he was a great teacher. People hold all types of ideas concerning who Jesus Christ is. But let's understand this today. We ask humanity who we think he is. John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, a prophet. Some think that he's just another god. Some think he's again Michael the archangel. Some think that he's just another god among millions. Some think that he's a complete devil like the Jews do or the Orthodox Jews do. But let's ask heaven who Jesus is. Who does the Father say Jesus is? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He goes on to say, Matthew 17 and 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's who the sovereign God of heaven says he is. Let's look into the spirit world. The heavenly spirits, Gabriel knew who he was. Michael knew who he was. There was angelic messengers who hark the herald angels sing. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The angels that strengthened him. Even the hellish and devilish spirits knew who he was. Isn't that amazing? Humanity's guessing, but the devils know. He walks into a temple. And all of a sudden, there's a man sitting there, screams out. But spirit has to leave. He goes there into the land of the Gadarenes. All of a sudden, that demon-possessed man runs to Christ. And the Bible says, each gospel kind of depicts it different. But one of the gospels says, that demon-possessed man driven by demons falls down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And one of the verses says, and worshiped him. What does worship mean? Reverenced him. Thou art the Son of God. Are you here to torment us before the time is what they said? So we know that spirits and angels, we recognize him. We know that the God of heaven recognizes him. The Heavenly Father does. We know that the Scripture recognizes him. He is the Lord. He is the Jehovah. He is in control. He is deity. He is called Jesus. And his name means Jehovah is salvation. This is his earthly name. It reminds us that he's a human. But then he's also called Jesus the Christ. That is his name that depicts his office as the anointed one. That's who heaven says that he is. Who does the saints say that he is? I'll tell you who Jesus said that he was. You know, it's one writer said it just like this. What a man says about himself speaks a lot at times. I've met drug addicts that are more honest than some Christians. What I mean by this, they'll say, I just don't have it all together. I need help. And there's some Christians, nobody in here likes it directed. I've met some Christians that need help and won't tell you. What I'm saying is Jesus said a lot about his own self. Notice what he says in John 14 and 9. He that has seen me has seen the who? You think, can Jesus lie? Is he going to lie to you? Is he going to lie to me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Notice what he says in John 10 and 30. I and my Father are one. Notice John 8 and 58. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. This is what he's saying. Talks about his pre-existence there. John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you think Jesus knew who he was? So look, when he's asking the disciples this question, he's not asking trying to figure out who he is. He doesn't have, hadn't forgotten anything. He's not looking for them. He's not somebody that's lost down here on planet Earth. You know, there has been some doctrines over the years, and none within the church that I know of, but there's been some doctrines over the years where Jesus is born into this world and he doesn't know who he is. He has to rediscover himself. That is not the Christ in which we serve. Matter of fact, at 12 years old, he could look at his mama and say, Mama, I must be about my Father's business. And Joseph is sitting right there and he ain't talking about building the barns or going back to the carpenter shop. I must be about my Father's business. John 17, he's our high priest. John 6 and 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. John 10 and 9, I am the door. John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. John 10 and 36, I am the Son of God. John 11 and 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15 and 1, I am the true vine. Jesus knew who he was. Let's look at others who knew who he was. Let's hear words from our own hearts. Let's look at men that had personal encounters with him, and women who made statements. Simeon there in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Notice what Simeon says. If I looked at Simeon at that moment and said, Simeon, who do you say Jesus is? Simeon said, my eyes have seen thy salvation, and light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Let's talk to Nathanael. You know, he's an Israelite, an upright man, with there's no guile in him. Mr. Nathanael, who do you say Christ is? Christ is the rabbi. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Let's talk to Simon Peter. Oh, we'll come back and talk to him in a few moments. Let's look at the woman at the well in John 4 and 29. Look at that lady at the well and say, who do you think Christ is? She would say, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Let's talk to Martha. Martha, who do you think Jesus is in John 11 and 27? Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Interesting here. Let me take you to one of the last guys we're going to talk to. If we were able, on the day that Jesus was crucified, if we were able to go up there and knock at the bottom of the cross beside Jesus, look at that dying thief and say, Mr. Dying Thief, who do you say Christ is? And one of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We are indeed justly, we receive justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And when he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man would have looked at you and said, he is the rightful king. He's innocent. He's righteous. Let's talk to that Roman centurion at the bottom of the cross in Matthew 15. Mr. Centurion, who do you say Jesus is? Truly, this man was the Son of God. I would say, Mr. Centurion, you're right. Not that he was, he still is. I know, Mr. Roman Centurion, you don't get all this. You know, you burn incense to Caesar, and this is all new to you. But that one you crucified, he wasn't the Son of God. 3 days, guess what? He's going to get up. He still is the Son of God. We can look at doubting Thomas, and even he would get to the place in John 20. He would say, my Lord and my God. Questions. A lot of opinions, right? You see all these opinions? You know the amazing thing right now, I could go around this room and talk to each one of you, and no doubt you would tell me that Jesus is the Son of God, but each of you would have a great description of what he's done for you. Some of you say, he's my deliverer. Somebody could stand up and say, oh, he's my healer. Somebody else could stand up and say, oh, he's my comforter. Somebody else could stand up and say, oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Somebody would scream out, Savior! Somebody would say, Son of God. So you could give title. You could give definition. We could clarify over and over again about our opinions about the Son of the living God. Second question is this, and we're about to hang our hat here, and we won't be much longer. Not the question is on who do they say that I am, but who do you say that I am? We've heard this and rehearsed this and talked about it. Oh, Simon, he saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, anytime, I'll be honest with you, anytime I come to a verse and it says, and Simon Peter answered, I'm always waiting for the next phrase. I just don't know what's about to be said. You know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, when I'm reading through the gospel sometimes and I come to Simon Peter and Simon Peter said, I said, no, Peter, don't do it. But here I would actually say, Peter, you're right. You're right. You know, you're not putting your foot in your mouth. You're saying it. That's what I like about Peter. He always had an answer, and even sometimes he messed up. But man, he'd go on a limb, and he right here he said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we have really got to take a moment and get over here in old Jewish Peter's shoes. A lot of times we make Peter an American, you know, he was born somewhere out in California. No, he wasn't. He's a Jew. And Jews know that you don't just call anybody God. As a matter of fact, it's tough for them to understand because the Old Testament says, oh, Israel, our God is one God. Okay, now they got a man showing up on the scene. They're waiting for the Messiah, but they're not ready for this type of language. He's the Son of God. God has a Son. This is a revelation of the New Testament. Yes, so when Peter's saying this, and if you don't mind me just taking a little liberty here, I'll picture the disciples standing there looking at each other. Who do you say that I am? Well, Andrew says, well, some think you're John the Baptist. And another one stand up and said, Elias maybe, Jeremias, another prophet. All of a sudden, Peter stands out. He don't care who hears him, what anybody else thinks about him. Thou art the Christ. They've been thinking about it maybe, but Peter went there. Maybe it was in the back of their minds, but oh, the phraseology to say such a thing as a Jewish man. And notice what Jesus says, because we talked about the questions, we've talked about the opinion. Now let's look at the great revelation. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. That's why we must remind ourselves right now that revelation does not come by flesh and blood. I can't counsel you into being saved. I can't sit down and tell a person. I've tried my best to talk to people who were lost. And I'll tell you, I've talked to some sinners and they just don't get it. Or they won't allow themselves to get it. God's knocking at the heart. What I'm trying to show you is this, that this is revelation. This is the doorway to revelation. It says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But who revealed it but my Father? Where's he at? He's in heaven. He is the one. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, can I say to you today, we are living in the age of revelation. You're living in the age of revelation. I know sometimes you hear me say, read the book, read your Bible. This is the Word of God. Peter didn't have this right here. You ever thought about that? The church there in the book of Acts didn't have this. They had scrolls, and I know I've taught on Wednesday evenings, but I took a course one time, a great book that William Barclay wrote about the Bible and about what it was. Do you know that the book of Matthew in a scroll form, if you were to roll it out, was 30 foot long? Could you imagine, Brother Glenn, us having to gather here on Wednesdays and Sundays, and me and a few other gentlemen up there with the big old scroll, and we're sitting there trying to find, where's that verse and chapter about him being this, you know, about him being the, you know, there, Matthew chapter 16. But imagine what it was like when they had the scrolls to get to Matthew chapter 16 and to find out that Jesus is the Son of God and God has revealed it unto us. Church, there's no excuses in this room. You have a book. You have the truth. That's why I said this morning, that's why we sow the seed. That's why we preach the book. But notice what it goes on to say. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, our Catholic folks have gotten it wrong. Peter's not the rock. A lot of times they think we're going to build this upon Peter. No, it's upon his confession that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we are built on. Church, you're looking for a rock to stand on? Stand on this right here. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ. That's the rock the church is built on. And I love what it goes on to say. Upon this rock, who's going to build the church? I? Jesus? He's a carpenter, right? Yeah, he really is a carpenter. He's going to build this church. He goes on to say, in the gates of hell. Once again, I know we keep talking about it, but this is kind of a memory of Texas. We look at that stuff, I will tell you this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know, and often it depends on who you read, but when we talk about the gates of hell, there's two ways to look at it, and I can shout about both of them. It's fine with me. The gates of hell, the word gates there, coming to gates is like a defensive term. I've preached it this way before. That means that we can go to the gates of hell. and souls that are going in. We can sit there and we can snatch them and preach to them and help them, that the gates of hell should not prevail against us. But a more correct theological truth is this. The gates was a place where the elders would sit and they would talk to each other and they would make plans and they would scheme and they would design and they would create military plans and things like that for their city. See, when it's saying here that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it's saying that the council, the plans, and the schemes of hell shall not prevail against the church. What a promise. I don't know about you, but I still get excited that this is God's doings. You know, there wasn't a man one day, it wasn't a church father one day that was sitting there and saying, you know what, let's create something called the church. And what we'll do, we'll gather together and we'll have a book and we'll preach. And a man will get up there and he'll talk to you and yell at times and other times put you to sleep, but just keep going. And what I'm saying is, let's call that the church. That was not the creation of a church father. That was the plan of who? It's his plan. It's his church. So as we come to a close this evening, once again, how do you close? That's where I wrestle. How do you give altar calls? What's the proper way? I don't know. I'll tell you this. The word is true. Who do you say that Christ is? Stand to your feet this evening. Now once again, we could walk up and down these streets. We could talk to different people. You would hear a multitude of answers. I've talked to ones in different religions. My recent encounter with the Mormons, I wish I got to talk to them more. There are all sorts of opinions about who Jesus is. Can I tell you this today? It doesn't matter what everybody else's opinion is. What is your opinion? Who do you say that Christ is? Yes. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered. I would ask you today, can you answer that question within your heart? I believe right now, majority of you already have. You've said in your heart, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's your Lord, and He is your Savior. But if that does, if you've already done that, if you're here tonight not saved, of course we want you to get saved. But can I encourage you with these words? That Jesus is going to build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth. We know who You are. It's a revelation. Lord, who do You say I am? Who do You say that I am? God, I would that You would touch our church. You would help us. Let us be encouraged that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I would tonight that You would help us, God, be what we need to be. I love You tonight. And God, I thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your kindness. Help us to serve You. Help us to be faithful. Who do You say that I am? Pilate couldn't answer the question. There was uncertainty in his heart. But we can say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. We worship You right now, God, because we know who You are. Lord, we thank You, God, for revealing it to us. Thank You for revealing it to us. Thank You for giving us the Word of God. Thank You for the preaching of God's Word. Thou art the Christ. Amen. Don't you appreciate God revealing it to you, church? Don't ever get over the fact that He revealed it to you. Like I said, once again, I know I've said this many times, but no doubt Brother Glenn has been used here for years. Many of you have been saved and touched. If God uses Brother Glenn, myself, or another minister, or just simply you reading the Bible, however He has revealed it to you, thank You, Lord, that You... I'm glad He revealed it to me in Pennsylvania on an old dusty floor, who He was. I got over everybody else's opinions and I had a personal encounter with who He is. You may be seated this evening. Amen. Well, at this time, as I already mentioned to you,